Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday, live at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. And we just sampled the whiskey nog during the break, and it is very, very good. As my grandfather used to say, it's good. It is very good. So appreciate them for allowing us to do that. Coming up tomorrow down in Chattanooga, it will be for the state championship. Nashville Christian taking on University School of Jackson. We say hello to one of our favorites, head coach over at Nashville Christian, Jeff Brothers, is on the line with us now. Coach, how you doing?
Doing well, and I appreciate the Beastie Boys intro. That's a throwback.
Oh, yeah. It kind of gets you fired up. You guys, you know, speaking of fight for your right, it's going to be a fight tomorrow against USJ, but I know that you're battle-tested after going 12-0 this year and have to be excited about opportunity to compete for the state title.
Absolutely. Two things. First, yes, we're excited about the opportunity to be back in Chattanooga playing for a state championship. And number two, yes, a very tough opponent and a well-coached and talented and motivated USJ team who presents a lot of challenges and you know, our work is cut out for us. But we enjoy the preparation. That's what I like about this group of guys is they prepare really well and they take the preparation seriously. And, you know, we'll see if we can put it all together and bring another one home tomorrow.
I feel like knowing you that this really hasn't been an issue, but obviously, you know, there's been a little more eyes on your program than maybe there has been in years past because of Jared and his status, and obviously he signing with Vanderbilt, which is awesome to keep him here locally. But how have your guys handled the pressure of being one of the best teams in the state, going undefeated, handled the extra pressure of eyes being on the program with his recruitment and everything with that? How have you seen them go through those battles and ultimately still perform at a high level on the field?
Well, I think I appreciate you saying that. I think it's, you know, the sort of the culture that we've created here of just, you know, keeping your head down and working hard and letting the outside voices and, as you called out, you know, the eyes that are watching, let them, you know, do their own thing, draw their own conclusions, say what they need to say, but we need to focus on our internal motivations and our expectations of each other, accountabilities horizontally throughout our team. And, you know, with some of the added, I guess, attention, I think it's been really good that our leadership from our seniors has been really focused on what we're trying to accomplish. And that starts with Jared, obviously, with all the things that have been swirling around with him and his well-deserved attention. You know, he maintains a sharp focus on what our football team is setting out to do and staying connected to, you know, we talk about staying connected to the moment, stay connected to the men, and, you know, we're doing that and stay connected to the mission, and we're doing that, you know, right now, I think at a high level, and that's because those boys are leading us in that direction. It's been a lot of fun to just be around them.
Okay, now for just a second, I'm going to take the media hat off and just say, Jared, anchor down, baby. Let's go. very exciting to see.
That's an added feature, I guess. You know, but, yeah, I'm really excited for him. You know, a lot of people have tried to connect me somehow because of my past, but I really have stayed in my lane and said, buddy, you need to do what you feel like is the right thing for you, and you need to make a decision and then go make it right, whatever that decision is, wherever it is. You know, we love you and support you. And, you know, all I've ever told him since his sophomore year, really freshman year when it started happening, is, you know, there are three things that I really ask of you, and that's to play hard for Nashville Christian, to be a great teammate, and to know Jesus. And so far, you know, all those things have you know, been what he's been, you know, given to us and to me. So that's the fact that he's going to be at Vanderbilt is fun, and we're excited for him.
We're talking to Jeff Brothers, head coach at Nashville Christian. Coach, somebody remarked how poised Jared had been through all of this. You see it firsthand. I mean, you got to be proud of the way he handled just all of this. Also, at the same time, going to class and then leading your football team so far at, well, I guess, 13-14-0. You got to be so proud of the way he's handled this.
Yeah, remarkable. I mean, for a guy in today's world, with all of the attention that is immediate and all of the social media stuff and all of the hype and all of the praise and all of the criticism and all of the haters and all of the things that they're exposed to and that can cloud, you know, the vision of an 18-year-old kid. And it's been happening for him, like I said, since he was 15, 16 years old with all this. He's been remarkably humble, mature, focused, And, you know, that's a credit to his family. It's a credit to, you know, the friends that he keeps close in his inner circle. His agent, Peter Webb, has done a great job with him. And, you know, I think just to use that as an example of how to handle the position that he's been, you know, granted with his recruiting and his status and rankings and all that kind of stuff, and to still stay so humble and focused on his friends and his relationships here and his mission at Nashville Christian has been a fun to be a part of, for sure.
Were you surprised how big, in a, not say chaotic, but just how consuming this has become the last few weeks?
Well, it's sort of the world we've created, you know, with, like I said, with the media that's available and then the early signing periods and the coaches leaving and everybody just wants, you know, information. You know, information is currency, and people like to seem rich, so they just throw it around as soon as they get it, and they look for it, and, you know, it's been a challenge, but at the same time, that's the world we live in, and you either adjust to it and get comfortable with it, or, you know, it tears you apart, and I think he and we have done a good job of just kind of keeping the main thing the main thing.
Coach Jeff Brothers is with us, Nashville Christian. So what have you learned about USJ and what you're going to have to watch out for tomorrow?
Yeah, man, good football team. Really steady, really well coached, really motivated. I think those are three words I used earlier. That's what I told our team at the beginning of last week when we knew it was going to be them. They are going to do ordinary things extraordinarily well, and we have to match that. And we have to be consistent. We have to do all the coach speak, the football adages you hear, you know, take care of the football, communicate well, be in your gap, make tackles. You know, run, block, catch, you know, all the football stuff has to be taken care of. And then you need a little bit of good fortune, and hopefully that'll shine on us as well.
I did want to mention TJ Ward also. He's a finalist for Mr. Football along with Jared. I mean, you got a couple of guys that are representing your program, but what has he meant to you?
Unbelievable kid, first of all. Just a great he's the emotional catalyst for our team. You know, when we're in practice and the energy's kind of low and we're just kind of going through the motions, and I'll get in the huddle and say, hey guys, we need to pick this up, just from an energy standpoint, he's the spark, and he loves that role. He's a great teammate. He loves to celebrate other people's success. He appreciates, you know, the work that everybody puts in, and he jumps right in there with them and balances our attack. You know, Jared can run the ball, but people try to, you know, they have to decide what they want to do. You know, you kind of have to pick your poison, and are you going to let him throw it over the top, or are you going to try to take away with a lot of coverage, and then here comes TJ downhill. And that gives us a nice balance and a nice diversity in our offensive game plan.
Jeff, I wanted to ask you, you had Golden Tate 2007 at JP2, one of the top players in the country. Can you compare this to what Jared went through? I know Golden early on committed to Notre Dame. I know coaches kept coming after him. Can you compare the two, or is the landscape now so vastly different you can't?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head. The landscape is so different that the experience of it is different. But in terms of if you could dilute it and measure, like, okay, what was available then? How was the world set up then? What was the opportunity then? Yes, it was equal to. Now, Golden wasn't the number one guy at his spot. He was highly, highly rated. He was highly, highly pursued. He was equally talented and effective and you know, sought after. But the way the landscape is now, there's so much more exposure, so much more immediate just emphasis on, like I said, gaining information and putting stuff out, and, you know, everything's the performative aspect of highlights and social media and TikTok and all that kind of stuff is so in your face now. And I think what was great about Golden and what is equally great about Jared, and they met each other, by the way, not too long ago, is
very nice
that they had a remarkable humility and sharpness of focus, that they were able to compartmentalize all of that and focus on the task at hand and just being, like I said, being great teammates and playing hard.
I will tell you real quick, we had Tim Hasselbeck. He joins us every week, and he played you guys, you know, Innsworth, Nashville Christian. And Chase asked, he goes, what about Jared Curtis? And Tim took a deep breath. He's like, where do I start? I mean, and right that right there, Coach, just explained to me, coming from a guy who's played at the highest level, how much he appreciated Jared Curtis. It was just really telling that how important, how physical, how big, how much of a leader he was for your team. And then you see that every day with Jared.
Right. It's become the norm in our world, and we've got to be careful that we don't expect that from everybody from now on. But I appreciate Tim saying those things or, you know, reacting that way. He's certainly seen a lot of guys and has a tremendous acumen and understanding of what it takes to play at the highest level. And, you know, he breaks those guys down every week on TV, and then he sees, you know, Jared and has, you know, that reaction, I think, speaks a lot towards Jared. And also Tim's humility to say, you know, that guy's different. And, you know, we were able to capture that game, and a lot of that was because of, you know, Jared making plays, but the other guys on our team made plays around him. And that was a great night and a great moment for our program and for Jared. But it's the thing that we've come to expect and see from him and all his teammates. You know, we've had a great year. It's a great group of guys. I hope we can cap it off the right way, because they certainly deserve it. And, you know, we've put in a lot of work to get here, and now we just need to finish.
Jeff Brothers is with us. I watched some of the throws that he's made, and, you know, as someone that's just watching from afar, I just look at that in awe. You played the position. You've coached for a long time. I mean, obviously, there are coaching points that you have, things that you're going to look at with him, but when you watch him make some of those plays and some of those throws, do you even kind of have to catch yourself sometimes?
Absolutely. There's a lot of discussion on the headset sometimes about, did you see that? You know, what in the world? Okay, you know, PAT, here we go. You know, I mean, that's he makes the extraordinary look ordinary. And he does it with just a nonchalant, you know, flick of the wrist. And you just, you know, you see it so much. We see it in practice, you know. He makes some of those throws, and I know there was one not too long ago where he's running to his right and he jumps off his left foot and throws it about, I don't know, 55 or 60 yards to Zane, who's blanket covered, and he throws it right in the one pocket where it can get through there, and he makes the catch. And every Thursday at practice, we work on last-minute, you know, Hail Mary, you know, last-minute situations, and we work on a Hail Mary, and he insists on rolling out to his left, jumping and turning a 360 in the air and throwing the ball into the end zone from the 50-yard line, and it's on the spot every time. And so you're just like, okay, well, I guess we can do that if we need to.
It's like, it almost seems like one of those, hey, that was great, don't ever do it again.
Yeah, and until he does it again, you're like, well, I guess this is what he does. You know,
yeah,
okay, well, who am I to say not to do that? You know, you got, the other thing about it is you got to learn to let go of the reins a little bit. You know, you don't want to just white knuckle a guy like that to say you're going to do this way because this is how it's prescribed. You have to let him ebb and flow with his talent, you know, and then you have to say, okay, well, we're going to live through all the great times, and but we're going to have to also understand sometimes it's not going to work, and that's okay.
Absolutely. Coach, best of luck tomorrow against USJ. We always enjoy talking to you, but congratulations to your team. Congratulations to Jared for signing with Vanderbilt, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate what y'all do, and I hope we get to talk again someday.
Absolutely. We will make it happen. That is Jeff Brothers, head coach at Nashville Christian. Also, Coach Jared Curtis for the last 4 years, who has signed with the Commodores, and they take on USJ tomorrow in what will be Jared's final game with Nashville Christian.
Yeah, I love – look, we deal with a lot of high school coaches, and Jeff Brothers at the top. I mean, this, he loves those kids. He teaches them about Jesus and about being a good person, and I'm telling you, there is a reason we love high school football, and it's because of a guy like Jeff Brothers, who coaches these guys and builds them up and prepares them for life. And so you want to know why we like high school football? That's a prime example right there with Jeff Brothers.
Well, and it was funny. I think I've told this before. You know, my dad would do a lot of caterings over to Nashville Christian because he knew Coach Charlie Anderson well and then met Jeff through him.
Yeah.
And so would cater the football, you know, before football games. And Jeff would come by the restaurant a lot. And, you know, so it was always great. And then I got into this and dealt with him, you know, on Friday nights and throughout. So we'll definitely be talking to him again.
Sure.
I can guarantee
that.
We'll have more coming live from Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. Chasing Big Joe on this Wednesday. 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. We're live at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. And appreciate Coach Jeff Brothers for joining us on the program, because he's one of the best. And, again, they will take on USJ tomorrow. When do you head to Chattanooga?
Tomorrow after our show. I'll head down there, and then I'm calling the 3A, 5A game Friday and the 2A game on Saturday with none other than the great, talented Jeff Ham.
Nice. And you're working with Jill on a game too, right?
Jill, I think, first game on Friday, the 3A game.
Very nice.
That's correct.
Friday, I'm just going to take the day off
since
you're not going to be here. So Nick and Connor and – probably Brandon Bigsby will handle things. So
Brando.
We will just leave it in their capable hands.
Do that. All right, so I want to get into this about last night. Vanderbilt footballers, they tweeted out and said, hey, tweet us, send us your name, and we'll do this fake Heisman ballot for you. So I tweeted to them. They sent me a note and said, hey, Big Joe, Heisman vote for Diego. It's been great and a lot of fun. Well, one guy decided to just rip me apart on social, which I laugh. I welcome all that. And said, Diego won't win because his stats aren't good. We've talked about this for weeks now. We even had Tim Hasselbeck, who we value his opinion very highly, about
he's smarter than us.
Impact of somebody on your team to elevate you to a different level. Diego Pavi is that guy, right? So you could call me and say, well, you know, he threw for 3,100 yards this year, 27 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. But he also ran, all right, this is my computer. There we go, buddy. 826 yards, 9 touchdowns as well. So he nearly 4,000 yards in total offense. That's fine. Take him off this team. And I don't know who the backup quarterback is. I don't need to know who the backup quarterback is because I know they're not going 10-2 with the backup quarterback. He's elevated a program to a next level that's never been happened before, and he's done it at every level. New Mexico State, last year at Vandy, this year at Vandy, and everything. He is the best offensive player in the country to his football team. You can call in and say, well, these Ohio State guys and Mendoza and Indiana, that's fine. Nobody is as important to his football team as he is. Now, had they gone 4-8, it doesn't matter. They're 10-2. That's why he should be in New York. It's probably why he should win the Heisman. Now, will he win it? Oh, probably not, right? Do I think he should? Absolutely. So don't come at us with stats. They don't matter. What was the quarterback in Hawaii? Was it Timmy Chang?
He threw for
50,000 yards. Why didn't he win the Heisman? He had all the stats.
Right.
Tim Rattay at Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's the most important person in college football. And we got away from that. We just gave it to a quarterback because he's on the best team. Does it matter?
The backup quarterback, I want to tell you, is Blaise Berlowitz. They also have Jeremy St-Hilaire, mm-hmm. Jack Elliott,
and
Drew Dickey, and Whit Muschamp.
And Whit Muschamp right there. So – they're all probably good in their own sight, but they're not Diego Pavia, and that's why. Now, 23 when Jaden Daniels won it, we broke a little bit out of the norm of giving it to the best player on the best team. Caleb Williams won it in 22. So you look at what happened there, and then Bryce Young at 21 because Alabama was good, obviously. But this guy has earned everything. And whether you don't like his Heisman stance or that he runs off and parties with Theo Von, I don't care, right? He's over 21, do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
He's already graduated. He's played his butt off. And I told Chase this. We were in New Mexico State last week, and I was talking to people who were out there when Diego was out there. Every one that I talked to, about 20 people, said they loved him. They should be mad that he left, right? You think one person, not a soul. They love that Diego Pavia represents New Mexico State. They love what he's doing now. His teammates absolutely love him. Talk to him. So, I mean, it's just all there. So don't come at me with stats. They does not matter anymore about stats in this.
Yep. 615-737-1025. We'll have more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. Early National Signing Day, and I saw this from Rivals. James Franklin has gotten Virginia Tech from being 121st to 25th in rankings, including taking a bunch
right.
from his former employer, Penn State. A couple of flips to tell you about. Wide receiver, and I hope I'm saying this right, wide receiver Owen Cable, who is from CPA, has flipped his commitment from Alabama to Vanderbilt.
Nice.
So staying home. Four-star defensive lineman Carter Gooden has flipped his commitment from UCLA to Tennessee. Franklin's working to flip a Michigan guy. Legend Bay, who's a four-star athlete, was committed to Ohio State, has flipped to Tennessee. So a couple of local things there on this early National Signing Day.
Man, when the portal hits on January the 2nd, that's going to be something right there.
Well, and I was looking at Vanderbilt's roster, you know, they got a lot of key players that are going to be juniors that hopefully will stay and see this through, you know, now that even though Diego's going to be gone,
sure.
Now they got Jared Curtis or whoever. So hopefully they, you know, make the commitment to stay at Vanderbilt and can reload some of this roster.
You'd love to see it. Real quick, there's another Lane Kiffin lie that's been put out there.
Landry's not his daughter?
Lane Kiffin said he allowed Charlie Weiss Jr. to return to Oxford to coach Ole Miss offense in the CFP. That's how much that school meant to him and the players.
Oh, boy.
Meanwhile, the Ole Miss AD said at the beginning, when all this started, Weiss was planning to be part of this all along. And the fact that Kiffin has made it about himself as he's helping Ole Miss out is a complete lie. It just doesn't stop. I mean, just on and on and on.
He woke up this morning, Lane saw himself in the mirror, and he said, get in there and make it about you.
He did, man. So
the pettiness. Look, as someone that's petty, I kind of like some of it because it doesn't involve me. So.
Right, sure.
So I'm just sitting here going, okay.
But the dog thing was pretty bad.
Yeah. And then I saw that Juice, the Twitter account, was like, can't wait to join my brothers and sisters, and it's a tiger.
For those who don't know, there was a dog that Lane Kiffin, people thought was
Juice.
His.
Yep.
Would show up on game day and walk around with and throw the tennis ball. Not his dog. Not his dog. It belongs. Somebody's like, oh, he's taking Juice with him to Baton Rouge. And the handler comes up and says, no, that's my dog. So he's lying about his dog that's happening. Do you love college football? I mean, this has been all. We had Peter Burns on yesterday. And I go back to the video on, was it Sunday, at the airport in Oxford. I'm telling you, if you haven't seen it, look it up. When the mom holding the baby is just dog cussing Lane Kiffin, get on the plane. And the caption says, it just means more. And it does. Remember when, who was it, all right, that got on the, they went to the airport. Was it Alabama or Auburn? They went to the airport and just ripped the coach coming in. And I don't remember who it was. Might have been Chizik leaving or one of those. And I was like, man, to get off work, go to the airport and yell at people, God, what a world we live in.
By the way, I'm laughing at – so Clark Lee was at the Preds game last night.
Yeah.
And they showed him, and Tennessee fans are saying, yep, majority of the crowd booed him. Not his town. And then everybody else is like, stop. You're just reaching
what?
Now. I saw it. He didn't get booed.
So, he didn't get booed.
Oh, it's so good. It's just like, you know – I think the perfect analogy is when little brother finally beats big brother, and it's just, you know, the big brother just can't handle it, and then your mom comes in and goes, just let him have this one.
Right. I mean, Tennessee fans now are like, no, we don't do that. I'm telling you, nothing annoys them more. Look, you lose to Alabama and Florida. I'll get all that, but nothing annoys a Tennessee fan more than what Vanderbilt does. And if Diego wins a Heisman Trophy, holy cow. I mean, that'll be on a whole nother level, but we got another week and a half where that happens.
So I wanted to, I'm so glad this hasn't come up yet because I saw this story last night. I fell asleep with the TV on and I woke up and this was the story that was on.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I cannot wait to bring this up. Did you see that a raccoon broke into a Virginia liquor store?
No.
Knocked over bottles and drank a bunch of liquor. They found him passed out in the bathroom.
The bathroom?
Because he got drunk.
Oh, that's so good.
And it says raccoon goes on drunken rampage through a liquor store.
Oh, is there a video of him falling down drinking? Oh, that's good.
And the video of him just passed out. He's
like laid straight back.
No, he's on his stomach, but he's just like.
Oh, gosh. What kind of whiskey did he get to say?
All of them.
Oh, like, yes. Just,
I mean, I hope he's okay.
So he had the foresight to knock the whiskey bottle over and opens up and drink it?
The Associated Press tweets, a raccoon broke into a closed Virginia liquor store and drank alcohol from the bottom shelves over the weekend. Even worse, it was bottom shelf. An animal control officer says the raccoon was found Saturday, passed out next to the store's toilet.
Oh, heck yeah. Which gives a better question, you know, as far as drinking buddies. You know who I think – I didn't think a couple years ago would be a good drinking buddy, but you know who would be a good drinking buddy now? That's a coach.
Who?
Clark Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Because he looks like a Bond villain. He's badass.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be a fun guy to drink with.
He wouldn't want to get into the bar fight with you, but he would if he needed to.
But when he did, I bet he would just be haymaker like Roadhouse.
He'd probably look at us and be like, damn it, guys. Really?
He'd love it.
And then it's like he's the one that clears it. Like, all right, we're going home.
He'd love it. Now, these new batch of coaches come. Like, Pete Golding at Ole Miss looks like he'd be for a couple of beers.
Lane get his ass kicked in 2 seconds.
Yeah, he would shove you in front of the fire.
Yeah, probably.
And then sneak out the back door.
And then say, I tried to break it up.
I wasn't there. I left. I got out of there.
My dog. I had to go take care of my dog.
Right. So the new batch of coaches, who would be the one that'd be like, all right, we're going to burn this town down?
Just college coaches?
In the SEC.
In the SEC. Oh, that's a great question. I don't know.
It's a lot of unknown. I think Jeff Lebby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would be a lot of fun, right? Because I've got a new respect for him, too.
That's a big guy that can hold his alcohol, I think.
Yep.
I'll give you one that is probably off the – I mean, I may get pushback on. I think Heupel could hold his own. Oklahoma guy. I think he could hold his own.
I don't know.
You disagree.
Push it back a little bit.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Summerall.
Summerall's a badass.
Yep.
For those that know him, he's pretty intense.
Silverfield,
dude.
I think maybe.
That's so much. I mean, Elko or I don't.
Oh, Elko, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
Elko, I don't know. Elko might be the one you're carrying out.
True. I mean, for years it was Muschamp. I'd go to any fight with Muschamp.
Sure.
He would just go in and just start laying haymakers left and right. So.
Stein, I don't know.
No, probably not.
I feel like Eli Drinkwitz would start something and then run out of the bar.
You know what? He's the smart ass that gets it going, and then you can't find him when you're fighting everybody else. That's a good one.
I'm trying to think of some other ones.
Venables, nah.
No. But if Sark, well, no, he's sober now, so I won't throw him into that.
Yeah.
Sark would come pick everybody up.
I don't think he wants to be bothered.
Yeah, well, maybe.
I'm telling you, Clark Lee's moved up my list.
What about DeBoer?
No. No, I don't know. I need somebody who's got my
back. What about
back.
Saban back in the day?
No. No. He'd explain to you why you got your ass kicked, why you're getting your
Kirby?
Ass kicked. Kirby's pretty intense.
Yeah, I would say Kirby.
Because Kirby and Muschamp are the same mold, those same Georgia teams in the early 90s. That would be, yeah. But I think Clark has moved. I need somebody who's got my back. All right, when something starts, I think guys got my back. I think Clark Lee would have my back.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I mean, he's a strong little dude. He's like a little Dr. Crane without hair.
Beamer would probably be run over.
Robbie Stanley would love to fight Shane Beamer. I would pay to see that fight.
Shane Beamer would probably throw the first punch.
Yep.
And then try and get out of there.
Robbie Stanley. Oh, no, look who called. Okay.
Well, I was going to get it. We'll get him on the other side.
Okay, we can't. We got somebody else.
Oh, well, okay, we'll get him now. Trey, what's up? Let's go to Trey. Trey.
Nolan Ball at me.
What's up?
How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to say that I can't even hear y'all.
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. I just want to say that it's going to be a travesty that Diego doesn't win the Heisman, and I don't think he'll win the Heisman because they're snubbing Vanderbilt in this playoff. And it's all plausible deniability. Okay, Vanderbilt is one of the hottest teams right now going down the stretch. And now they're going to say that they're not good enough to be in the playoffs. That's absurd. But I'm going to let them have it. There's a whole lot of hating. That's what I believe. And I'm not going to come off of what I think. And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate it. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Adam Zox. He is the race director for the St. Jude's Rock and Roll Running Series, which is coming back again. They got a big sale going on. We'll tell you about that and much more coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. We're live at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. And you know, the we love talking about the marathon whenever it is that time. St. Jude's Rock and Roll Running Series and a 24-hour sale is going on right now. To talk more about that, we bring in Adam Zox from the Rock and Roll Running Series and the race director. Adam, what's up? How you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. And so tell us a little bit more about this 24-hour sale going on right now ahead of the St. Jude's Rock and Roll Nashville Marathon, which is coming up April 25th and 26th next year.
Yep, it'll be our 26th year in Nashville at the event, but today is our what we call our winter promo. So before we head into holidays, today is the day to register. It's the biggest discounts of the year you can get on your entry fees. So if there's any thoughts and you're planning to run in the event, today is the day to just jump on the entry, get in there, commit yourself, and then you're ready to get rolling with your training as we move into the new year and into April.
And you can just go to, runrockroll.com to start that process. And it's for any of the events, right?
Yes. Yeah, discounts and everything. The event, is, you know, as you guys know, the event is so different from when we first started it, where it's just the first it was just a marathon, then it was a half marathon. Now there's a distance for everybody. You have a marathon, half marathon, 10K, 5K. The sale is open to all of the distances.
Talking to Adam Zox from the St. Jude Marathon. Look, Adam, it has been a fantastic event for our city. You do this around the country, and I tell people all the time, I've done 16 of these half marathons, and that, trust me, if I can do it, anybody can do it. But something happens to you when you cross the finish line. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's you put so much time and work into getting ready to participate in a marathon or a half marathon. And, you know, bring yourself, you're committing to it, all your family, friends, so many people are involved with you. And, you know, just running that race and completing it and crossing that finish line is, you know, it's very emotional for, you know, so many people. And, you know, you've done many. I've seen thousands of races around the country, seen them and worked on them. And, it's, you know, there's just so many reasons for to participate and to be part of it.
And not only that, but they have the running groups all around Nashville. You get partnered with them, and you don't have to be a, here's the thing. You don't have to be a 125-pound marathon runner to do this, because I'm a large man, and I was able to do it, and anybody could do it. And I'm telling you, you get with these running groups, Adam, you know this. I mean, you become a community and a family. It's just more about you trying to make it to the streets of Nashville. But that all this goes together to make you a better person, realize – you can accomplish a goal. And again, you see these. You see these people who come together and do this. That's why this event is so good, not only here, but around the world and around the country, these events.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I mean, this event in Nashville took a little while for it to catch on and to grow, but because of groups and running running teams and other partners that have been part of the event over the years, you know, we had groups that had 5 or 10 people, then suddenly in a few years later they had, you know, 50 to 100 or 200 people running together and training together and helping each other get to where they wanted to be.
So we're 4 months out, and I'm thinking about doing it. I mean, you still got time to train. I mean, it's not like, oh, I'll do it next year. Why not do it now, right? I mean, that's what I tell people. You can't make up time, so just do it now.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of time right now. So it's December. If you have any kind of running base at all, you can certainly run the possibly the marathon and definitely the half marathon and certainly the 5K or 10K. If you're brand new to the sport, then, you know, get some education about what you need to do and how you can start training. You know, St. Jude is our partner, and they can help you get there. And Fleet Feet is another group that we work with, and they have training programs. Anyone can get to that finish line if you want to start now.
Yeah. Hey, if you need me to go around town and motivate people, I can do that, Adam. Free of charge for you, buddy.
I know you can. Thank you.
That's a big no.
So, again, the events are marathon, half marathon. There's a 10K, a 5K, a 1 mile, doggy dash, and a kids rock race, correct?
That's correct. Yep. Anyone can be part of it. And then if you're not going to run, then volunteer and, you know, still be part of it. It's a big community event. That last Saturday in April has become Marathon Weekend in Nashville. You know, 25 years ago, no one knew what that meant, and now it's just like everyone looks forward to it every year.
You can go to runrockandroll.com/Nashville for the 24-hour sale that is ongoing right now. You get the best rates to register. Do that today. Adam, appreciate the time as always, and I'm sure we will be talking to you very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, guys.
Absolutely. The St. Jude's Rock and Roll Running Series, which is coming your way April 25th and 26th here in Nashville.
You're going to do it. Not this year. Next year. I'm making you do it. Because here's what it does. And, Dr. Crane, you know this. You commit yourself to doing this. The last person you want to let down is yourself. Then your friends.
Yeah.
We hold each other accountable, and we do it. You don't have to run 13 miles.
I consider the 5K this year.
Do it.
Consider that.
Something happens to you when you cross the finish line. I got all those medals. I look at them. I'm like, I did that.
They get your heart going again.
Me. Look at me. The most non-athletic person around is able to do that. You could do it. I'm telling you. And it gets you going, get your mindset going. You start losing weight, feel good about yourself. Next thing you know, you're done. You've got a medal. And on that Saturday, it's beautiful.
It just takes 14 days.
What does?
It just takes 14 days. You'll feel like a new man. I'm telling you. It really does. Walk an hour at an incline of 3.5, you lose like 10 pounds. I've already lost 7.
Nice. Are you going to do this? If I have to do this, you have to do this.
Oh, dog, I could do a 5K. I'm asleep.
All right, we'll do the 5K.
Okay.
We're declaring, and people could come with us. We'll do the 5K. Join us now.
All right.
The 5K.
5K. We're doing it.
All right.
Sign
flag this, Dr. Crane, Chase McCabe at 156 on December the 3rd.
You got it.
Sign me up. Right. We'll do it. We'll have more coming in hour number 3 here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game.